Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning, everybody. Andy here. It is really great to be with you and great to be continuing our sermon series called Home. We've been thinking about this idea of home on multiple levels, from our own homes to the church home that we're a part of. And, you know, we've broken it down into these three main categories. And one is, you know, in homes we receive or we should have received nurturing. Maybe we would say formation here in BCV. Also, blessing is one of them. In homes and at home, we learn how to share our homes and our resources and our lives to bless others. And also the third is launching. We're launched from our homes. We're sent out from home to bring an impact into this world for Jesus' sake. We'll always have the opportunity to return home, to remember who we are and whose we are. We return back for strengthening and for rest. And today I want to talk about something that touches all three of these areas, but I'm going to emphasize the launching one. And what I want to talk about is leadership. There is and should be leadership in the home, causing it to grow, do well, and be all that it needs to be. You know, homes are led. Homes of all descriptions need led. Homes that are led well flourish over time and become potent places of growth, love, and development. And I hope that's part of your story as you reflect back on the home you have now and the homes you have been a part of in the course of your life. But sadly, many of us know what it's like to see or be part of a home that was led poorly or not at all. And it's very difficult to flourish, and there's a lot of pain. There's a deficit there that we can feel and see as a result when there isn't leadership in the home. And as we consider our own homes, our workplaces, our families, building a home in the city, this church that we call home, I want to talk to us about leadership. It's absolutely critical in any type of home environment that we're thinking about. And as we're in this funny stage of the pandemic, it's actually being revealed that there's kind of many crises within the one big crisis, right? And one of the sub-crises of the pandemic is actually leadership. The pandemic, Sean, a light on how broken aspects of leadership are, certainly in the Western world, if not the whole world. And with the complexity of the world we now live in, the stress that's in so many different systems that we occupy of the world, leadership is even more challenging. And many people are opting out. They're saying it's just not worth it. It's too hard. It's too time consuming. It's too painful in this uncertain time marked by strong division in nearly every sphere of life, everywhere you turn. And today, as I talk about leadership, I want to acknowledge that, yes, leadership is hard. It's probably harder now than ever before. But I also want to say that it's essential, that Jesus calls all of us to at least lead ourselves and often a whole lot more. He calls men and women to lead in homes, in workplaces, in church home, and in the city. And this pandemic is a crisis, but it's also an opportunity for all of us to ask Jesus what he is giving us to lead and influence, and how we might use that to build homes by being launched as leaders who are empowered by the Holy Spirit and walk in intimacy and obedience to Jesus, and then bear fruit that others really benefit from and makes a difference now in our world today, in the future, and actually for eternity. To help us, I want to take us to Acts chapter 6, where we encounter a problem of distribution, where the early church faced a real problem, and then leadership decisions led to flourishing. And it shows us some things that I want us to think about. The problem was actually due to growth. The church was growing rapidly at that stage, and its leaders were trying to keep up with that and also keep up with the challenges of maintaining unity amidst a diverse family. And we talked about that in our Ephesians series, that the church isn't like a social club. It's to be a diverse but unified family gathered around the risen Jesus. And that is beautiful, but that also can be really, really challenging. And that's what's going on here. In chapter 6, verse 1, we read that the church is growing. And it says the Hellenistic Jews were complaining that their widows were being overlooked in favor of the Hebraic Jews when it came time for a daily distribution of food. So what's going on here? Well, this is before the gospel about Jesus spreads to the Gentiles or the non-Jewish world. That starts in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, if you want to catch up on that. So this dispute is between Jewish followers of Jesus. And Hellenistic Jews means Greek-speaking Jews now living in the Jerusalem area. They would have been part of the Jewish diaspora around the Roman world. They spoke primarily Greek, and they're now back living in Jerusalem. The Hebraic Jews would have been those Jews from the immediate area around Jerusalem, which in Jesus' day would have been known as Palestine. And they were the locals, and they spoke Aramaic. And you can see the conflict brewing already, right? Locals versus outsiders, right? A first language separation, some cultural gaps, no doubt. And it's easy then to insert suspicion into a situation. And of course, we wouldn't know anything about that in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, would we, right? Well, anyway, there was a daily distribution of food to serve the poor, the widows, and the orphans. And one set of widows is being overlooked, and the complaints land at the feet of the apostles, the leaders. And I just very quickly want to point out, you know, why do we at BCV care so much and spend so much time, energy, and resource on compassion and compassion ministries? Well, the answer is right here in chapter 6, verse 1, because it's always been at the heart of the church. Certainly at its beginning, its genesis, its birth, it was feeding the poor. It was looking after those who were in need. We see the church loving and serving in practical ways, and preaching and demonstrating the gospel. And I am so proud and humbled by what God has done through you, through BCV, through Storehouse, our compassion ministry and compassion charity in this area. It's from, in my mind, it's from God's heart to the heart of the city and beyond. And He has done so much through Storehouse as we, and now it's grown to the point where there's lots of churches and different people and organizations gathering together to make a difference in the city. And if you haven't had a chance to see what Storehouse is and does, I'd invite you to head over to our website. You can see it on the slide right now, or you can email me, andy@belfastcityvineyard.com, and I can point you in the right direction to the people to talk to check out Storehouse and who they are and what they do. Well, we see in chapter 6, verse 2, that the apostles decide they actually need to do something. This is something that actually needs dealt with, but how are they going to do this? So it says, they gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on table. So they want to stay true to their calling, what they're supposed to do, which has been really clear from Jesus, but they do want to fix the problem and they want to maintain unity amidst the diversity. So they tell the disciples to choose 7 people to take this ministry on. They say, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then the people respond positively. They choose 7 men whom the apostles then lay hands on and they say, go for it and go get it. And it says the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. And the result of this leadership decision is unity. The church keeps moving forward in its mission. They keep chasing the Spirit. And they actually begin to bear much fruit. Because verse 7 says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient in the faith. So flourishing came. Leadership finds solutions to problems. It brings healing. It helps preserve unity. Keeps the church or the family or the organization moving forward on mission and causes the whole thing to thrive and do well. And I want to pull out a few things really quickly that I think are important for us to see in this moment where leadership is something many resist or just want to step away from. What are we going to need to know about leadership, in order to lead ourselves and to respond to leadership calls that are actually on our life, to lead in our homes, to lead in our relationships, to lead in our workplaces, our city, and indeed even our church. Well, firstly, leadership in this season embraces responsibility. The apostles hear the complaint and they judge it as more than valid, and they take responsibility. Now, before the pandemic, I would have given you a way more fancy leadership definition, but I'm convinced that one of the things the pandemic is revealing and this season is revealing is that leadership is ultimately about facing and taking responsibility for the sake of others so that others flourish. Being willing to take action, to listen, to choose, to decide, to enter into situations and bear weight and embrace responsibility in an obedient response to where Jesus places you and leads you. And some of us right away are thinking, look, I just want to run a mile when I hear that, or that could never be me. And I just want to say, after 20 years of living among you, Northern Irish people from Belfast, are really good at this, actually. People from Belfast are tough. People from Belfast are resolute. They have been through a lot. And this season of leadership that the world needs right now and the church needs right now, it isn't about amazing skill and charisma, although there are people of amazing skill and with charisma all over BCV. It's actually about standing firm, bearing weight, taking responsibility, putting one foot in front of the other, moving forward when things seem dark, in faith that tomorrow Jesus will come through for us. Being people who embody careful, loving leadership that is present to Jesus and to people, leadership that helps rebuild and making sure the light is still on for people, as Harmony mentioned last week, and that everybody has a place at the table. And I believe the people from Belfast, people from this part of this island, this is stuff that you are really good at. And maybe it's our time. Maybe it's your time. Maybe the last 30 to 40 years has set people up to actually lead people, businesses, families, churches up out of this pandemic by simply being willing to bear weight and bear responsibility. Well, also, in this season, leadership is clear on calling. The apostles, they do take responsibility, but they don't just do everything. And you can see in chapter 6, verse 2, like their answer to this is actually feels a little bit abrupt and stark. Like, it's not right for us to reject the ministry of the word to wait on tables. In the original language, it just means to serve at tables. But it feels like, whoa, you know. But the apostles were clear from Jesus on their calling and they stuck to it. And they said, yes, this is a problem, but we are called to the prayer and proclamation of Jesus and the teaching of the word. And leaders are clear on their calling. They say no to things in order to say a big yes to what Jesus has called them to and asked them to do in a season or over a lifetime. They don't just add leadership onto a busy life. They carve out space for it based on their calling. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a talk about a rule of life, and I think that's really helpful here. In homes, leadership in homes, you know, we who lead in homes say lots of no's so we can say a big yes to our family that occupies the home, and so we can lead well there. And work, so many of you say lots of no's in other areas of life to be fully present to leadership and service in the workplace because you're clear on who you are and what you're supposed to do. And it's the same with leadership and service in your church home. What are you called by Jesus to do? And if this pandemic has anything for us, one of the things it has is a rethink moment on our obedience and our calling and our faithfulness to Jesus. Am I called to leadership? Has Jesus asked me to lead and to serve and to stay at my post and to keep leading? If so, then am I doing those things? If not, is this a moment where that might change? In every sphere of my life, am I embracing Jesus' call to leadership and self-leadership? Now, of course, there's legitimate delays and obstacles to full-hearted pursuit of calling to leadership and service. You know, things like a season of illness, things that are a season of where there's things that are really challenging in your family circle or at work. It may occupy time. You need to be fully present there. You might be going through a season of grief and loss, and you need to take a step back from leadership. And of course, those are legitimate delays to fully stepping into your leadership calling. But at some point, we need to walk in obedience and find ways to do what we know we're being asked to do by Jesus. One of the saddest things for me as a leader in the church is to see people who they know they're called to passionate leadership and service in Jesus' kingdom, but they just don't ever decide to do it. And that to me is one of the most heartbreaking things. And part of that has to do with clarity. What am I called to do, and am I actually going to protect that and actually do it? Well, leadership in this season doesn't just require clarity, it requires commitment to character. In chapter 6, verses 3 and verse 5, we can just see some of the character qualifications. The apostles don't just say, appoint whoever you want. They're not saying, look, find some warm bodies and get them to just do this and we'll move on quickly, quickly, quickly. They say, we need people full of the Holy Spirit, faith, and wisdom. You know, leadership is for men and women of character, and callings are great, and we need those, but character is what supports the weight of a calling. And character doesn't just happen, it's cultivated over a lifetime with Jesus. And we can see in every sphere of life what happens when leaders don't have character, and usually nothing good, and lots of damage and pain happens to them as a leader and to whomever is around them that they lead. And what if, in these uncertain and dark days, the Lord is still looking firstly for men and women of character, wisdom, and faith who know the voice of the Spirit and are led by Him? And what if that's never been more important than right now? What if men and women are being required to stand in the gap, to bring order from chaos, to build and rebuild organizations and churches and ministries and families? And what if you have discounted yourself because you don't feel like you have leadership skill and charisma? Well, the good news is it's character that is first and foremost on the list. And if I know anything about BCV, it's full of men and women of character. Leadership is about helping others and causing systems and families and workplaces and churches to flourish. But for those who do step into leadership, it's also about the formation of your character and maturity. We've said many times over the years in BCV, you are the project, and Jesus uses the things that we're called to and the places He places us to shape and form us into His likeness. Whether you're called to be a father or a mother and lead your family, whether you're called to a leadership role at work, whether you're called to a leadership role in this church, in this city, or beyond it, part of it is about you having the impact that only you can have, and part of it is about your character being formed by Jesus as you face challenges and problems and conflicts and decisions that you can't solve on your own. You need His empowering wisdom and His intervention. And our character grows as we look to Jesus in faith for all our needs. We grow. And some of you don't feel like you have the character to lead right now, even though you're called. Well, it's time to get serious about that. And instead of shying away from leading your family, leading in church, leading in work because you know your character isn't up for it, what if you met this moment and decided to build your life with Jesus and allow Him to grow your character? I especially want to speak to fathers who are hearing this morning. Will you step up and be a leader with character? If you are like, I don't know how to do that, we have men in BCV of character who are leaders who can help, and they can mentor, and they can disciple you. Email me if you want, you're a father and you're like, I have no idea how to do this, and I know my character needs developed help. We can help with you, and it's time to go for it and get serious. Well, in this season, leadership solutions are found in-house. You know, it's one less obvious but very important part of this passage is the seven, who they actually were. If you look at the names in the original, they're all Greek names. In other words, the solution for the problem was found in the house. They're not Hebraic names, they're Greek names. So the apostles asked those who were highlighting the problem to be the solution. They didn't bring in a consultant. They didn't appoint people from the outside. They found the solution from within the community. Those who had the most vested interest and those who also had the most known character. And why am I mentioning this? Well, it's always been true, but never more in this season. But solutions to challenges will likely come from within the community. And what does the church of the future look like? Well, it probably looks a bit smaller. It looks leaner, more robust, and potent, with greater ownership from the body, with plenty of solutions from within. And that means, when you get down to it, it means you and it means me, stepping up and being solutions to leadership challenges, committed to the mission and unity of the church, willing to put leadership and serving skin in the game, willing to keep following Jesus here and to do what he asks of us, even when, as I usually am, we are way out of our comfort zone. You know, in the course of this pandemic, I have never said, I don't know, more times. But we have found our solutions as a church in the Lord and what he has provided us. We found them in this house. And by God's grace, we are here, we are strong, his presence is with us, and he is leading us. Thank you for being a church that is willing to be part of the solutions. And so many of you give and serve and lead and bring things up that need healed, fixed, and dealt with and addressed, but you place yourself into the gap as part of the solution to the problem that you're identifying and ministering into, and I'm grateful to you. Well, lastly, I want to end with just a bit of an appeal to all of us, myself included, and that is to see leadership through a different lens. So much of this pandemic and the leadership challenges it brings have been seen through the lens of crisis and struggle, and people understandably want no part of it in every area of society. Leadership is hard, but what if it's also an opportunity? And what if we saw this moment of history differently? What if God has not actually abandoned us? And what if he's moving? And what if we get to be a part of it? This pandemic has covered and scarred the whole earth. And the move of God that I believe will correspond to it will also cover the whole earth. I believe that God is moving in this day. And what if we have the opportunity to lead and be part of that move of God? And what if it's an opportunity we won't want to miss in all spheres of life, but certainly in the church? What if this home, this house, the home that God is building called BCV, needs lead at all levels because God is and will be moving in power? And what if there has never been a time like this before? And what if it's an opportunity for us to walk in faith, to be carriers of hope, to make eternal impact in the lives of many, to stand firm in the midst of chaos and see order come? Yes, leadership is hard, but what if leadership is good? What if it's good? And what if you're needed? And what if Jesus has you to be part of a solution to a problem? And what if you're not just needed, but what if you need it? What if what Jesus wants to do in your life, the formation that he wants to do in you, requires you to be put in situations where only he can help and only he can heal, leaving you dependent and growing in faith and hope and prayer and his presence? Don't you want that? Don't you want that for your character and for your life with God and indeed for your very soul? And what if it's not just good? What if it's fun at times? And what if it's what you're meant to do? And what if it will bring you immense satisfaction when you see the fruit of what Jesus has done because you led people towards flourishing in his name? And what if it will be something that at the end of your life you would not trade? That you'd be glad that you paid the cost and you'd pay it all over again double, because you are so satisfied with what Jesus has done in you, because the legacy that's been built and the fruit that has come is so powerful. What if you don't want to miss that? And what if the most radical, countercultural, loving, and servant-hearted thing that we can do right now is not to chase our best Instagrammable life or fleeting happiness or give in to fear or do what just everybody else does, but what if it is actually to put our hand up and say, I will go, I will lead, I will work for unity, I will love sacrificially. Instead of turning away from conflict, problems, and challenges, I will run towards them, and I'll be willing to lead as we build home. And maybe this time of great crisis in the world is a great opportunity for us in our homes, our workplaces, friendship groups, city, and church home. And maybe you won't want to miss it. And what if at the end of everything, it's actually an obedience moment? What if Jesus is asking you for this season or for a lifetime to lead in his kingdom? Will you respond and follow him? Homes that are led well flourish. Will you respond to Jesus and lead in the Father's house? I just want to pray for us briefly. I want to pray for those of you who just, you know, you've always found yourself home, work, church, wherever, you've always found yourself being looked to as the leader, but reluctantly. And I just want to say to you, that's been my story. I was always put into places of leadership, and I was just always found myself there. And sooner or later, I just had to embrace it and say, I am a leader. There's something about me that will die inside if I don't lead. There's something about me that is called to this, even though I don't feel like I'm the stereotypical leader. And what if Jesus actually has this for you? And this season is for you to step up and say, okay, Jesus, if you're leading me, I will lead. There's others of you that are like, I wish my faith was more real. And I guess I would say to you off the back of this talk is, well, then lead something. You'll need Jesus like never before if you become a leader. As you will quickly come to the end of yourself. So if you want to build your faith, start to lead something. And then lastly, I just want to pray for those of you who have been leaders in the past. Maybe you've taken a step back or you still are leading something. You've been really, really faithful. But the truth is, you feel a bit like me. You feel worn out. You feel frazzled. You feel weary from kind of punch after punch of what's happening in our world right now, unsolvable problems and wild complexities. And you feel down and you feel sad and you just feel like, I just want to punch out here. Well, I just want to pray for you. I believe the Lord is saying you need to be kind to yourself. But I want to pray for the empowering of the Spirit. I want to pray for a fresh vision for leadership. I want to pray for the resources of heaven to be on you. And I want to pray for the sense that, for you that the Lord is with you, but also your brothers and sisters are here. And I want to pray for you that there's this lens coming about this is a crisis time for leadership, but it's also an opportunity time. And I just feel like for you, it's that thing where you're actually winning. Don't quit while you're ahead. The Lord is with you. The Lord is moving. And I want to pray for that. So Holy Spirit, come. Would you call many of us to leadership? I pray for those who are reluctant to step into leadership. Would you visit us with your presence and would you call us? I pray for those, especially in their 20s and 30s, would they be raised up to lifelong leadership in your kingdom? I pray for those who feel just worn out. They've been faithful in leadership. They're exhausted. They face unsolvable problems. Holy Spirit, come. Bless them. Call them afresh. Show them where it's actually the tide is turning. Your hand's upon them. You're moving on this earth. Empower them. Give them everything they need. Pour yourself out upon them. Would you show them how to be kind to themselves? Would you give them pockets of rest and nurturing and blessing? We ask this in Jesus' name. We ask that you would raise us up as a church, as a house of leadership for the next decade so that we might see the kingdom come in outrageous and unexpected ways and so that we might be just this outpost of leadership kingdom development in your name in our city. Lord, would you use us powerfully? We want to respond to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.